Hello, I'm Rafiq, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hey yo, it's Garbled Twistery, and today's episode is going to be something nice and light and frothy and yummy. As we already know, we're in the middle of looking at some neato vice principal candidates in the big fat 1808 Prezi-Wezi political drag race, and we got to check in on our Federalist friend from before. Indeed, I'm talking about our boy Rufus! And since we've talked about this dude before, you should be able to find only the new information at the 9 minute and 51 second mark, okay? So yeah, let's check up on the story of King Rufus the Naked Mole Rat, okay? Our boy Rufus was born in Scarborough. Yes, I'm talking about that place where all you hear is and while it was in Massachusetts, it's really Maine, okay? His mom's Isabella, and his dad is Richard King, who was this farmer-merchant hybrid of a sea captain lumberjack. Oh, and he was so successful at his farmer-merchant hustle that everybody in the neighborhood was ridiculously jealous of his hustle. So when our dude Rufus was 10 and the Stamp Act was the talk of the town and everybody was rioting in the streets unapologetically, somehow these righteous rioters broke into the house, stole everything, and destroyed almost all the furniture. Oh, and a year after that, they burned down the family barn. So the next time you want to think of this American Revolution as super noble and patriotic and morally perfect, remember what happened to Rufus's dad. Richard wasn't doing nothing to nobody. It's a darn shame. So yeah, Rufus's dad went full-on loyalist after that, but interestingly, Rufus took a different path. But we'll get there when we get there. Where did homeboy go do a learn? Well, he went to some bougie Massachusetts boarding school when he was like 12, and he must have been good at learning stuff because he ended up in Harvard Yard. Then he started doing lawyer stuff on his lawyer internship with some guy named Theo Falio. But then he saw those rebels running around looking cool with guns, and he was like, hey, wait, I want to do that. And he like became a major and got involved in some crazy battle that happened on Rhode Island. But after doing all that fun shooting people stuff, he went back to his internship, did the limbo, passed the bar, and set up his office in Blueberry, Massachusetts. I mean, everyone in Massachusetts was pretty cool with our boy Rufus, so they let him be a court member, and when Confetti Con was happening, they sent him. He was like one of the youngest people to show up to Confetti Con, by the way. And if Massachusetts trusted Rufus enough to send him to Confetti Con, you could bet your bottom dollar they sent homeboy to Constitution Con. And he was still a greenhorn, but nonetheless, he made a good impression. He was showing up to those debates, and he was spitting bars and dropping mics, and nobody knew how to handle that Wong factor, because he kept revisiting his opinions based on the debates. You know? I'm serious. Rufus showed up to Constitution Con ready to defend all that confetti, and he left Constitution Con having to blow the confetti out of the window like a Roro Monroe. But yeah, he was one of the Power Rangers that got together to come up with that Constituti Patootie, and he was working with the likes of Billy Madison and Alexander Hammy Tammy to do it. So yeah, they finished that thing up, signed it. Then Rufus went back home to go try and get Massachusetts to ratify the thing. He also tried to get himself a tasty little Senate seat, you know, but he's still a greenhorn, so I doubt that's gonna happen. Senate people gotta be old as dirt. Rufus needs to start getting some back pain before he can become a senator, okay?
My back.
But he was still really good at the persuasive rhetoric, so he's partially responsible for Massachusetts even liking the Constitution, because he was able to convince a couple of stuck-up rich people who think they're above the government and stuff. He's an influencer! But as I was saying earlier, our buddy Rufus made friends with Alexander Hammy Tammy, and I think we all know how that guy's always got some kind of angle. Well, before Rufus left Constitution Con, they had a little chat. I have a quote from Happy Tammy right here. Now you listen here. Come closer. 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 Now you got a good head on your shoulders, kid. I don't want you wasting your talents all the way out there in Massachusetts. No. You come to New York with me and get into politics. You don't need to do any more of that lawyer stuff. Everyone and their grandma's a lawyer. Capiche? Unquote. Apparently, Rufus understood what capiche meant, because he quit his lawyer job, packed his bags, and moved to New York, and straight up got elected to the New York Assembly. And he was a straight up New York senator after that. And he was on Team Hammy Tammy, so that means he was helping everybody get on board with this PB&J treaty by writing all these essays for the dailies, calling himself Camilla. He was putting in that persuasive work, talking about how the Jay Treaty would be super good for trade, especially if you're in a boat and stuff. Good times, good times. So yeah, he got reelected to senator again, but he couldn't take the job because Jorge was like, hey, yo, Rufus, you gotta be ambassador to the English peeps. Come on, help me out here. So he helped Jorge out, and he still had that job, even into Tommy J's presidency, despite being a Federalist, because he was just that good at it, apparently. What was he so good at? He helped get that Jay Treaty going, and he kept things nice and friendly and stuff, bringing cookies to meetings and whatnot. And of course, he was bashing the immigrants every step of the way. No, this did not come out of left field, I can explain. You see, the Irish had this crazy freaking rebellion against England and were taking a bunch of boats to America. So, of course, the English ambassador is going to sit there and write letters talking about how all these Irish people are total disobedient degenerates or whatever. Oh, and remember Francisco Manuel Miranda? I don't remember when I did, but I did talk a little bit about that crazy revolutionary guy. Yeah, Rufus had him on speed dial, okay? But he did get tired of drinking tea and stepped down in 1803. Yeah, and politics would get much harder for him because everybody and their grandma's a Democrat-Republican nowadays. Okay, I know what you're thinking. What about slaves? What did he think about the slaves? Yeah, he didn't like slavery at all. I mean, New England, generally speaking, didn't like slavery. Like, when he was in Congress and some new Northwest Territory was being talked about and legislated, Rufus is the guy who snuck in the "don't you even think of buying slaves in this new territory" clause. That said, he wasn't no crazy awesome abolitionist either. Like, this is what he said about it at Constitution Con. Quote, "Look, the only reason why I don't like all this slavery nonsense is because you Southerners are making way too much money off it. All of y'all are sleazebags. Sorry, not sorry. But hey, I'm not saying I'm unwilling to compromise these literal human lives for political reasons, okay? Just give me a cut," unquote. So, yeah, had Rufus grown up in the southern states, I'm pretty sure he would have been a slave owner. I mean, he's just too ambivalent about the issue. He ain't no John Jay, okay? Well, John Jay actually did own slaves, but at least he put in some effort, okay? Man, this slavery stuff is weird. You got slave owners out here hiring lawyers to defend free black people and escapees, and you got non-slave owners out here like, oh, I'm willing to compromise. Totally wild stuff, dude. Anyways, where was I? Oh yeah, Hamilton. You see, Rufus was hashtag Team Hamilton, so he loved all the harebrained money schemes, so of course he was freaking appointed to be one of the directors of Hammy Tammy's freaking bank. But enough about that. Let's talk family. Rufus's family was all super political and stuff. Like, his brother, Miley Cyrus, was a Massachusetts rep in the Big House of Reps, and his little brother was, like, the first governor of Maine or some nonsense. His wife's dad was part of Continental Con. Speaking of Rufus's wife, apparently she was the most popular girl in school, who was also, like, the smartest girl in school. Like, everybody in New York thought she was, like, the prettiest, nicest lady in New York. Like, everybody wanted to be her, even the men, which is quite a feat in that day and age. So, yeah, I'm talking about how Rufus King had that Wong factor. But Mrs. Mary King, she got that little Majin comeback mechanic working for her. But anyways, there honestly still isn't too much action happening on the Federalist side of the proverbial tennis court. I mean, Rufus did buy a big fat house in 1805, and you can go there for a tour if you want nowadays. But what else did he do? He also joined the Academy, you know, the one that we used to thank all the time before movies existed. He tried to be a New York senator, but that was an epic fail. I mean, I wish I had more to tell you, but the Federalists are looking more and more useless as time passes by. It's kind of sad. I mean, you know what they say, history doesn't remember the losers. Apparently, this is only genuinely true when discussing losers at the point when they're truly on their last legs and about to go extinct with no little Majin comeback mechanic. Perhaps if Rufus were to make a triumphant revival of the Federalist Party, we would know more about him between 1804 and 1808, but it really doesn't look like that's gonna happen. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, blueberry pie, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, find Garbled Twistery and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. I know, exciting. There are more details about how this will work on the Patreon page, but wait! There's more! If you become a patron of $5 or more, you'll get full access to an entire Patreon-exclusive season titled Garbled Twistery, A Second Look. These episodes will primarily be remakes of my earlier, slompier episodes, along with many entirely new episodes to tag along! And now, per tradition, a snippet of the upcoming Spider-Man bonus episode.
Spider-Man!
Reading about his life feels like reading a script of the latest episode of The Young and the Restless. I mean, I would know. I'm young and I'm restless.
Spider-Man.
If you want to know what that was all about, then head on over to Patreon. Anyways, next time, we're doing yet another check-in on an old reliable VP and PP candidate this time. You hear me right, folks. He's running for both, so you really don't want to miss this. It's Jorge Clinton again.
Get excited.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
That was an epic fail.